Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania. On December 18th, the U.S. Congress repealed the long-standing ban on homosexuals in the military. This policy had stood since before our nation was even founded. Its repeal took place during the lame duck session, when apparently the U.S. Senate and House had nothing more important to do than allow homosexuals in the military. The repeal took place after a majority of service personnel, especially those in combat units, voiced opposition to the repeal. A misleading report was released by the Pentagon on November 30th, which was used to influence the decision, although apparently the members of Congress did not actually read the report themselves. So, what does repeal mean? How will it be implemented, and can it be stopped? My guest today is Elaine Donnelly, who's the president of the Center for Military Readiness in Michigan. Thanks, Elaine, for being with us.
Nice to talk with you.
And I know that you're on the front line. You've been on the front lines for years trying to stop this because there's been the effort to homosexualize the military since early 90s when Bill Clinton was in office.
That's right. What happened in that year was, although Bill Clinton tried to pass a policy known as Don't Ask, Don't Tell, a compromise, as he put it, saying you could be in the military and be gay as long as you didn't say that you were homosexual. Congress listened to that presentation. They considered Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but they rejected it because they saw so many problems with trying to defend such a policy in court. So what Congress did instead was to codify regulations in effect long before Bill Clinton took office, and that is the essence of the current law. It says that homosexuals are not eligible to be in the armed forces. It's quite clear. It says that the military is different than the civilian world. There is no constitutional right to serve in uniform. It describes differences between the civilian world and the military, lack of privacy, the need for unit cohesion and trust, all of those things. And for that reason, Congress affirmed and reaffirmed the policy that was in place before Bill Clinton took office. So he signed that law, Bill Clinton did, but then he issued regulations saying that you can be in the military as long as you don't say that you are. Now, that is a totally different policy. It is administrative. It does exist. But Don't Ask, Don't Tell and the law are two different things.
Right.
Now, what happened in December was Congress voted to repeal the statute, mislabeled Don't Ask, Don't Tell, with what they called delayed implementation. What it means is the law is still on the books as we speak, but if and when the president decides that he can certify that nothing bad will happen to the military if the law goes away, 60 days after that, the law will go away.
Right.
So that's where we are right now.
Now, prior to all this that happened in the 90s, isn't it actually on the forms that the guys fill out to get into the military? Wasn't it actually on the form itself a
right.
question about homosexuality?
Yes, and the Congress in 1993 said to Bill Clinton, all right, we'll let you continue your practice of not asking the question,
mm-hmm.
are you homosexual, that used to be on the induction forms. However, the law says that that question can be reinstated at any time by a Secretary of Defense. Now, our position has been we support the law.
Mm-hmm.
We've always wanted the question to be reinstated.
Right.
But even without that, the law has not been properly enforced because some homosexuals have joined, even
mm-hmm.
though they're not eligible.
Right.
And there's the source of all the controversy.
Right. And they've been told that they can join. They've been
That's
told
right.
as long as you don't reveal your sexuality, you're okay. It's perfectly legal for you to join. That's what they've been told.
Yes, that is a reflection of the Department of Defense
mm-hmm.
policy, which again is different than
right.
the law. And the confusion really contributed to the vote in Congress in
exactly.
the lame duck session to repeal the actual statute,
right.
which was misrepresented as Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting that the Congress back in the 90s when this all first came up, how very insightful they were as to the problems that would be created by a quote-unquote Don't Ask, Don't Tell
they were.
Situation. So because they understood what was going to happen and that what they predicted came true. What really bugs me, among other things, is that President Bush could have thrown out the Bill Clinton policy,
That's right.
Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy.
We asked him to do that,
mm-hmm.
and we never got an explanation as to why that was not done. So when you have a law and a policy that are in conflict with each other,
mm-hmm.
it creates confusion, It leads to a public relations situation where, I remember how Admiral Mullen said, well, I can't support a law that requires people to lie.
Right.
He was misrepresenting the law.
Right.
And frankly, I think he knew that. Why he did it, he wanted the law repealed.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that.
That's pretty much what happened. But let's talk about the actual law that is supposed to go in place now.
Right, right.
We keep trying to talk about the LGBT law, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender law. Now, to pass a law and not even give it a name, nobody even knows what this LGBT law would mean in actual practice, and the Department of Defense has been part of the campaign to hold back information, to confuse people. They came out with a report late November, which is full of contradictions and assurances nothing bad will happen, even though if you read between the lines, there's all kinds of problems that were indeed reported by the Pentagon last year.
Right. And I know that one of the situations that exists is sexual assault. I know No Family Research Council, Peter Sprigg, just reviewed the cases of sexual assault in the military. I think just for fiscal year 2009, they found that homosexuals were more likely to be a perpetrator 8% of the time. I think that was the way that Peter worded that, according to their numbers. Because really, let's face it, they're the numbers of homosexuals, 2-3% of the entire population, but yet the number of homosexual perpetrators were just astounding as far as you look at the numbers. And that's just one of the problems, though.
Well, it's not just a matter of involuntary sexual activity, someone assaulting someone else. There's also the question of what is voluntary. And the way that regulations and rules and laws would have to be changed to accommodate the new LGBT law. Let's just start with marriage and marriage benefits. Same-sex couples, the Pentagon says, will not have access to military housing because of the Defense of Marriage Act. And yet, the administration is trying to get rid of the Defense of Marriage Act. Now, they don't have any contingency plan. They keep playing this DOMA card. However, if the DOMA goes away, Congress is going to defend it in court, but let's suppose they lose. Same-sex couples having access to military housing, benefits, education, medical, even travel would have a profound impact on military families. And even without any of that being discussed, according to the Pentagon's own survey, 12% of family members who were interviewed said they would leave the military rather than subject their families to LGBT law.
Right.
They were not asked either about training to promote LGBT ideology in the schools. The Department of Defense has the largest school system in the world, the largest child care system also.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that. Wow.
Oh, yes, and all of the training programs and the military service academies. Everyone will be, in fact, they already are, being subjected to LGBT training to teach them that they must accept homosexual conduct as perfectly normal, no different than heterosexual. Mm-hmm. The campaign has been quite relentless.
And I think there was another situation where even now, if a quote-unquote gay couple adopts, would base housing be open to them as a, quote, family?
You mentioned a loophole in the presentation of Department of Defense. They say same-sex couples would not have access to military housing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But guess what? A single person in the military who has an adopted child does have access to military housing. So in order to make that equal, according to the Pentagon's own scenarios in their training that they put out, if you have two Marines, male Marines, and they adopt a child, they will have access to military housing. They have said this. This is a huge loophole.
Oh, yeah.
Now, imagine, just kind of connect the dots here. You have a large contingent of people who want access to the military, military housing and benefits, including medical.
Mm-hmm.
All they have to do is adopt a child.
Yeah.
And they have access to all of this.
All those benefits.
Now, the LGBT movement is very big on adopting unrelated children.
Yes, absolutely.
And the State Department is already encouraging unmarried people to adopt unrelated children. So what do you have here? You have incentives that are going to have consequences. And anyone who doubts that should look at the way the military has become a mecca for single mothers. Why is that? Because single moms need medical benefits for their kids.
And child care.
So the children become part of the military system. They derive all the benefits that ensue. We need military benefits to support stable families, but they're being used to create unstable families.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
I don't think most people realize, you know, we're talking about the problems with implementation, but I don't think most people realize that actually last month in February, the indoctrination that was actually began with the soldiers I guess it's a three-tiered approach that the Department of Defense is taking. That's the strategy.
Right.
And Tier 1 began last month.
Right.
And could you kind of give us a rundown as to how that's being implemented, the various tiers and what those entail?
Well, people who are receiving this training are being told that there will be zero tolerance of dissent. They don't use that phrase, zero tolerance, but what it means is if you do not go along with the program, you will be invited to leave or forced to leave. Now, this will be most acute with regard to the chaplains. Chaplains have an inherent conflict here because although it's unfair to say that they don't minister to everyone, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of denomination, chaplains minister to everyone, all faiths. Whether or not they are involved in activities that are considered immoral or not, they minister to everyone. But in this case, chaplains will be required to support the policy regarding homosexuality, which is contrary to their own policy, their own religious denomination's policy, and it creates a conflict. They can preach their views within religious services, such as a mass or a service. A minister or a priest can say what they want about homosexuality. But that's a very small proportion of the time of a military chaplain in his daily activity.
Mm-hmm.
They also perform marriages. They do marriage counseling. They teach sensitivity training. Big conflict there because LGBT training is contrary to their own views. In counseling individual members of the military, what is a chaplain supposed to do? Well, according to the Department of Defense, what they're supposed to do is leave the military. It would have a kind of a two-step process. They have to be endorsed as a chaplain by their own denomination.
Okay.
If and when that endorsement is withdrawn, then they must leave the military. And if they still owe some time to the military, they may be required to stay in, but not as a chaplain. In other words,
defrock
chaplains. Again, the Pentagon doesn't say it in so many words, but this is the clear implication when they say that you can leave if you don't owe any more time to the Army. Well, what if you do? They don't answer that question.
Right, and, you know, they're treating this as if it's any other job.
Right.
Where you can just up and decide you're going to leave whenever you want to. And that's not the way the military works.
That's right.
I mean, you basically signed a contract, and you're obligated to stay however many years that you signed up for. You cannot just decide, well, I don't like the policies anymore, and I'm going to leave and find another job.
Well, that's right. And now let's look at the privacy issue.
Mm-hmm.
The direction is very clear that there will not be any separation of sexual orientation group. So if someone objects to sharing private quarters with someone who is homosexual, the recommendation is they get more sensitivity training.
Yeah, yeah.
And if there is any change to be made, the person who complains will be the one to pay the price. So either they will be the one required to leave. They might be marked down in their career assessment or evaluation forms.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, their attitudes will be questioned. But a person who is accused of misconduct, they're going to be considered a special class if they're homosexual and they're treated as a special class. Well, I mean, do you see how much turmoil is likely
absolutely
to
it's going
here?
To. You know, I like they always use the term dignity and respect because that's the terminology that they're using. Like you said, they don't say zero tolerance, but it's that they will treat all service members will treat their fellow service members with dignity and respect.
Right. How is that interpreted?
It's
in
a one-way street.
Practice? Yeah. Well, it's very open-ended. Yeah. It's open to interpretation. If you say that I believe in, let's say it's a minister and he says I believe what the Bible says about homosexuality.
Right.
If he says that outside of a religious service, someone in that unit could file a complaint that chaplain so-and-so just disrespected me.
Mm-hmm.
And then comes the whole procedure of accusations and counter-accusations or defense, legal defense. It's a mess. And certainly people will be removed from positions of command. Their attitudes are called into question.
Right.
The Pentagon is just pretending, oh, this is all business as usual.
Right.
Well,
and
it's not.
Pretending that there's not going to be any ramifications of this decision. Like you said, what is up to 12% said they would not reenlist?
12% of military families.
Families,
that
okay.
They would not
military
re-enlist.
Families, okay.
Right.
Right.
And the strong opposition among the combat troops especially, this was downgraded or just stated in vague terms by the Comprehensive Review Working Group, that's the panel that looked at this issue last year. They said, quote, our sense is that a majority of views expressed were against repeal of the current policy.
Wasn't it up to 60% or over 60% when you actually looked at the figures?
Well, you have to read the fine print
to
find out that combat arms, about 60%, were very opposed to repeal. and the Marine combat arms were like 67%. Now, none of that was mentioned in the executive summary, what was released to the media. Instead, they told the media that, well, about 70% of people said that they had known or worked with someone who was gay, and that they thought there would be a positive mixed or no effect. Now, that was deliberate spin and very misleading, because viewed differently, the same question indicated that 62% of respondents predicted that there would be some negative consequences if Congress repealed the law. It's also interesting that throughout this entire survey process that went on last year and all of the focus groups that took place, not once were the members of the military invited to show either support for the law or opposition. They weren't even asked the question. And yet, here the Pentagon is trying to say, well, it wasn't a referendum, but they let the media report it as if it was a referendum and the troops were okay with repeal. And that, that was not truthful.
So during the town hall meetings themselves, the actual question was never asked as whether they supported or opposed repeal.
That's right. And every time they tried to express an opinion, they said, well, no, we're not here to hear opinions on actual repeal.
Well, what's a town hall meeting unless there's give and take? Unless
that's exactly right.
A military town hall meeting where the upper class, you know, the higher-ups are doing the talking and the recruits or, you know, the everyday guys
listening.
Well,
that's what's going on right now. Yeah. Respect is a one-way street. Everybody is supposed to respect the new LGBT group coming in, cohort of unknown size or number, and if there's any conflict, then anybody who complains, their motives could be questioned.
Absolutely.
Commanding officers could be held accountable
for the actions of their
discipline that are predictable.
And that's exactly what's being, basically, that's exactly what I'm reading in there anyway, because they're saying that the ones like Admiral Mullen and Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense, he's saying, well, all we need is education. If they get the proper education, there'll be absolutely no problems. And we're going to educate the officers, and then it's going to be their responsibility to make sure that the ones under them understand fully what's taking place.
This is the height of folly.
Absolutely.
The military wrestles constantly with issues of sexuality and misconduct. Anything is open to interpretation. Just look at the case of Captain Owen Honors. This is the guy who was doing the videos on the carrier.
And it's shown them in the past.
I love those videos. They were funny.
And there'd be no, and there'd been no problems in the past.
Right.
And I find it very strange that all of a sudden, shortly after repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, all of a sudden his videos are a big no-no.
Well, we don't know who released them, but here's my point. I think the videos were inappropriate. I don't think he should have been making them. However, according to him and according to his attorney, the leadership, his own chain of command, did not object.
Right.
And it was considered acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, it's not acceptable,
right,
and he is being punished. And frankly, you know who was the chief of naval operations during that time and should be held accountable even now? Admiral Mike Mullen.
Okay.
Now, if they could not determine what was appropriate on that carrier when Owen Honors was the XO of the ship, how do they expect people to figure out what is appropriate with regard to LGBT personnel and humorous presentations? There's an awful lot of entertainment that, in the view of many, would go over the line.
Right.
That is appealing to LGBT customers or recipients, participants, whatever you want to call it.
In fact, within days of the repeal, there was gay soldier website put up.
Well, yes. I mean, there's all sorts of things that perhaps could be interpreted as inappropriate.
Yeah.
Here's something ironic. The Navy Times, the current edition this week, talks about the Navy training. Let me read you just a sentence of what it says. Your leadership and personal commitment must be unequivocal. No sideways glance, smirk, or allowance of inappropriate jokes or comments will be allowed. On the reverse side of the same page is the article about Owen Honors. How there were critics of what he did and there were supporters and nobody could figure out where the line was. Do you see the irony here?
Yeah.
We already have a lot of turmoil and tension having to do with what is appropriate behavior with regard to sexuality.
Right.
And the line is very amorphous. People can have their careers ruined just because of an accusation of something in one command that is not acceptable there, but it's considered acceptable somewhere else.
And you're going to have a whole group of people, if this is actually implemented, you're going to have a whole group of people who are going to enlist in the military looking for someone to accuse. Something doesn't go exactly the way they look, or they get the wrong look, then they're looking for someone to accuse.
There's also a potential for a different kind of fraternization in fact, sexual misconduct issues of both kinds, on the one end, abuse or assault, on the other end, fraternization and romantic relationships, these are going to increase threefold because you're going to have male-male incidents, female-female incidents, in addition to the ones we already have. So let's suppose a commanding officer is gay, and he knows that someone in his command is not supportive of the policy. Mm. That person obviously is going to have career penalties. And how do you prove anything like that? It's very subjective. Well, there really is no way. So I find that the way this is going down and the simplistic training that the Pentagon is presenting, it really is just foolish.
It's putting our troops and ultimately our nation at risk.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have a situation where the military is not working, where there's not the unit cohesion, then that's going to put everyone at risk.
Well, see, there's two kinds of military cohesion. You have vertical cohesion, that is trust between the commander and the troops he leads. That is already being undermined because the commanders are being told, you better make this work or else.
Or else.
So the subordinates don't know that their leader has their back, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The other kind of cohesion is horizontal cohesion within a given unit. If you have individuals who are pairing off one to the other,
yeah,
whether it's opposite sex or same sex, that is inherently disruptive. And my concern is, although the Pentagon keeps denying this, that gay relationships are going to be acceptable because they're gay relationships. And that will weaken the fraternization rules for everybody. So, yes, they'll have equal standards, all right, but there'll be lowered standards for everyone. And it will be a much less disciplined force.
Yeah.
One question they haven't asked or answered yet is, will these rules apply on base only? What about off base?
Mm.
If you have one set of rules for on base and another set of rules for off base, let's say you have somebody who has cross-dressing tendencies, okay? And we know the LGBT includes the T's, or transgender.
Right, exactly.
And so, again, the Pentagon is denying it, but that's
right,
where we're headed.
Right.
So does this mean that people can behave and dress one way when they're on base and another way when they're off base? This is a basic, fundamental question.
Absolutely. And interesting,
the Pentagon has not answered
it. No, and interesting you bring up the T's, because they're saying that they're not included in the repeal. So they are,
yes,
the T's themselves, the transgenders themselves, are beginning an effort to have transgender included.
Right.
So,
in fact, I think that is exactly where the administration wants to go, mm-hmm, because every year this president has,
yeah,
celebrated LGBT Equality Month,
right,
in the month of,
proclamation,
I'm sure he'll do
each
so
month,
again
time,
this year.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if in LGBT Equality Month the president signs this certification paper,
uh-huh,
and then 60 days after that the law is finally repealed, they are saying they expect it all to be done before Labor Day.
Before Labor Day. Oh,
right.
My goodness.
And even though they're denying that T's would be included at this point, if your principle is equal opportunity, there's,
mm-hmm,
no other way to go.
Yeah.
That will come in time. If not by policy change, it will come by litigation. And we know what the administration is likely to do. They will not oppose litigation brought on the grounds of equal opportunity.
Absolutely. So the military right now is going through this sensitivity training and,
yes,
being told that this will work. The repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell will work.
No, they're being told the new law will work. And again,
well,
it's not Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Well,
it's
that's true.
LGBT law.
Okay.
And you know, we have to get away from calling it Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or even Un-Don't Ask, Don't Tell, like the UNCOLA. We need to call it what it is. This,
okay,
is the LGBT law for the military. If it had been labeled as such, I doubt that this law would have passed last year.
Okay, so we need to refer to it as the implementation of the LGBT law.
Right.
Okay.
It'll be done by policy.
I will change
because
terminology.
The new law was very open-ended.
Okay.
And it says the Department of Defense will determine how to enforce it.
Okay.
Unlike the original legislation that spelled out some things, the new law that they passed in December is even worse, because it doesn't spell things out. It's pretty much open-ended, and the administration will enforce it as they wish.
Wow.
Yeah,
is there any radical. Yeah, so what can we do? I know there's been some talking about hearings in the House. What do you suggest
there's
we do?
There's going to be a hearing on April 1.
Okay.
And this will be a subcommittee hearing, the Personnel Subcommittee of the House Armed Services Committee. People should be in touch with their own member of Congress, but just look up on the Internet for,
mm-hmm,
the addresses of that committee.
Right.
The chairman is Howard P. or Buck McKeon,
mm-hmm,
California Republican, and the subcommittee chairman is Joe Wilson,
right,
of North Carolina. Just a short note or a call saying, hey, you know, we're glad to hear that you're going to have hearings. we encourage you to ask good questions, then do what you can to spare the military from the LGBT law. They need encouragement.
Absolutely.
Because they're getting a lot of pressure from the opposition.
And how can folks contact you?
Our website address is www.cmrlink.org. Anyone who's active duty military or wants to discuss things in confidence can go to the spot on the webpage that's called Confidential Contact.
Yes, on the lower right.
We're more than happy to correspond with people in confidence. And we'd like to hear from people who have been through this training. What do they think of it?
Okay, cmrlink.org. And
right.
I do encourage folks to contact their congressman and express concerns about the implementation of the LGBT law. Also encourage Congressman Joe Wilson and Buck McKeon to go, to get these hearings going, and appreciate Joe Wilson's, Congressman Wilson's efforts on April 1st.
Right.
Okay, we appreciate all the work you've done, Elaine, and appreciate you keeping on top of this.
Well,
are you keeping
you.
On top
nice
of this and keeping
you.
Us educated?
Okay.
Okay. Hey, take care.
All right.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in defending traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA at Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, 16323, or visit their website at afafpa.org. The views expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of American Family Radio, Lighthouse Ministries of Franklin, AFA, and AFAFPA.